Amen. Yes, I agree with Brother Jason. Good singing tonight. It's a blessing to sing unto the Lord. Amen. I know sometimes we think we're just singing in a room full of people, and yet, it's far from that. Yes, we're certainly encouraging one another and being a blessing, but we get to sing unto the Lord, and the Lord is pleased by that. All right. Last week I gave out some outlines on this message that I called God's Formula for Experiencing His Fullest Blessing. So maybe you still have it, but if you don't, Brother Gary's got some extra ones. Maybe you just raise your hand, we'll get those to you. Brother Tony has some as well, and we'll get those to you. So we are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Of course, we were in there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 this morning, but this is where we were. Now tonight, I'm just going to hit really just point number 2 and just keep it a little bit shorter. But there's a whole lot here just in these three things. Now, again, this church at Thessalonica, they received the gospel, and there was such a great a spiritual disposition or temperament. I mean, they just received the things of the Word of God. And God blessed them for that. There's that great verse in First Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 that I like to read. It says, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So that was really key for this church, is that they just received the Word of God, and they studied it out, and God blessed them. And then they got on a track and just began to go forward for the things of Christ. And not that there weren't any issues, no doubt. In every church, there's always issues. But, you know, really, for the most part, these folks just did what they were told. They obeyed the Lord. They got out, witnessed. People in Macedonia and Achaia had heard about them, so their witness was widespread, and they were faithfully serving the Lord. And so there was a lot of good traction that was taking place with this church. They were really going forward, a lot of good progress. And when you take a look, obviously they had some questions, and I brought that up this morning. They no doubt had some questions about the Lord's second coming and what happens to a Christian when they die and they go into the ground. What happens, Paul? And Paul addressed that. He addressed the fact of Christ coming and how that's going to play out. And so the Lord was able to really bring these people along. You know, that's just so true with us, is we're able to go forward in our Christian life much more quickly, with greater progress, if we just yield. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, it is really elementary, but if we'll just yield, the Bible says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So God is doing this work in us, and as we just allow him to do that, he's able to hasten the progress, or he's able to get it going at a better rate than when we resist. That's pretty simple, but it's profound that when we just let him do that. So this church was allowing the Lord to do that, and so he was able to bring them to greater heights. And so last week we talked about in this stretch of this passage from chapter 5 and verses 14 through 23, it's just rich with just some short little compact exhortations and commandments. But this is where they were, and this is where the Lord wanted them to get to and to raise the level of their Christianity to. So the Apostle Paul gave them these, and we talked last week about, in order for them to be able to experience the full blessing from the Lord, which verse 23, really, that's what they're looking to achieve. I'll just read that one verse. "And the very God of peace," if they would do all these things before, from verses 14 to 22, "the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." That means completely. The work of sanctification, of making us more and more like Christ, that work that's being done in our hearts, it'll be able to be done wholly, not just halfway or 25% of the way. The Lord says, "I'll be able to complete this work in you to a full degree." And he says, "And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul," notice he says whole spirit, And then he means whole soul and body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a great goal right there in verse 23. And so if we'll simply yield ourselves to the Lord in these exhortations along the way and just allow him to do this, and that we're eager to just volunteer our these little vessels of ours, our bodies, and God can do some great things in our life. So with that, we'll go ahead and let's have a word of prayer. I'll just talk briefly about what we have for this opportunity to gather together. It is such a blessing. It's just a time of joy when we get together and we fellowship with the brethren. We can sing. We have a good time in the things of the Lord. We thank you. But at the same time, Lord, as we live life, we go through trials and difficulties, and every one of us is at a different point tonight. We might be in the midst of rejoicing over some things. We might be in the midst of some trial, and there's a weight on our shoulders tonight. You see everything, and so, Lord, you know how to address these things. As a pastor, I just shrug my shoulders, Lord, because there's nothing I can do. I just want to be a voice that you can use tonight. But we look to you, dear Holy Spirit, to do your work in each and every heart. Mike was brought up, Jeannie's brother, and then Bo, Brother Jordan's brother, and there are needs there. We pray, Father, for your hand to be upon them and their particular challenges that they're facing. But you know the things that we face as well, so will you help us, please, Lord? We need your help. And we pray, Lord, that you just work amongst us. Thank you again for this time. Thank you again for your word. It is such a blessing to us, and we pray that you would be glorified tonight. Again, help me. Please push me out of the way. I don't want to be in your way tonight and hinder you in any way. So I pray, Holy Spirit, you could do your work. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen. So last week we talked about just determining to treat people as Christ would, because that is what God's called us to. We talked about warning the unruly, you know, that God wants things to be done orderly. And there's times when we have to confront somebody about disorderliness or unruliness. We talked about that. Comforting the feeble-minded. Being a blessing to somebody who, you know, maybe through age or some kind of a tragedy, they've kind of come into the category of being feebly minded. You know, sooner or later we'll get there. That's just kind of how life goes. And may we be a blessing to them. May we be a blessing to somebody who's weak, supporting the weak. The Lord Jesus was always somebody that was for the underdog. And when we do that, he is pleased by that. You know, he talked about not to offend little ones, not to offend. If somebody were to do that, he said it would better that a millstone were kind of tied around their neck and they be cast into the sea. That's pretty sobering when you think about that. The Lord says, don't harm my little ones. And we're to be a blessing to them. Being patient to all men, that's a challenge, but we can do that when we walk in the Spirit and we walk after the Spirit. The Lord can help us to be patient. And then not to render evil unto any man. That's another difficult thing, is when something happens to us, we want to retaliate, don't we? It's part of our old nature. And we want to get a pound of flesh. And so we talked about those things last week. And so now he goes on to verses 16 through 18. And let's go ahead and let me read verse 14 and 15 again, which was what we talked about last week. And it says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Now, tonight, we'll talk about these next three. And these verses I call the always verses. And as I put into on the outline, it is to position ourselves for God to continually bless. That means that if we'll put ourselves in this place, if we'll follow these three verses, then we're putting ourselves in a position for God to continually bless us. And that's what we want. We want God's blessings, but sometimes we want it in our terms. And no, it has to be under his terms. And here are his terms. He tells us, rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So I call them the always verses, because they're to be done all the time. They're to be done in every situation, giving thanks. Rejoicing evermore. That means we're to rejoice all the way till the Lord comes, or until we go home to glory. Yeah, are we going to be able to get this every time? No, but boy, that's what we ought to shoot for every time. And so always be rejoicing. Let's take a look at that. It is determining to put your mind on a certain setting, a mindset. It's not always easy. It's not always easy. I mean, when you're going through some things, it's not easy with a brother Jason has to deal with MS. I'm supposed to always rejoice. I have MS. I think of Brother Leo. I mean, I'm always to rejoice, and Brother Leo deals with a bad back. Brother Park, he's got a bad hip right now that hurts him a lot. Am I to always rejoice? Well, the Lord says there's no exceptions to this. The Lord says we are to always rejoice. Rejoice in the things that God has done. It's not always an easy thing, but it's what we should all choose to do. And why is that? Well, first of all, I mean, it's commanded by God. It's just right there. God just commands it. He said, listen, when Dad said, son, I want you to mow the lawn, we might have done this, but boy, I tell you what, I'd have gotten the belt for this. My dad used to pull the belt out, and he did it in a good way. But if I were to just look at my dad and say, no, oh, it was over. I mean, he'd take me somewhere into the house, and he'd do it in a good way, and I'm glad he did that. And I'm not going to get into spanking right now. I'm just saying, there are consequences when you just say no to something. And this is not an easy thing. And the Lord knows it's not an easy thing. But God, he commands it of us. And might we learn to at least make that effort to say, Lord, I want to live on Rejoice Evermore Boulevard. Right? That's what I want my address to be, is to learn how to rejoice evermore. Whatever it is that comes our way, whatever it is that he puts in my path. But I'm glad God commands many things of us. If that weren't the case, we wouldn't be held to any level of expectation. I mean, just think about it. For most of us, our standards would be just adequate at best. If God didn't give us these commandments at that level, we would just settle for here. We would settle for here. But think about it. Thank the Lord for parents and for teachers and for coaches that raised the bar for us. I mean, humans did that for us, right? I mean, I look at Micah over here, and your coach is not going to say, well, I'm not going to really worry if you're just, you only just kind of operate at a certain level. No, he's going to push Micah as far as, playing defense and maybe having to play linebacker or play on the line. He's going to work with him about his technique and say, Micah, let's bring it up here. Aren't you glad that they do that, Micah? He played a lot of years of football. He's had coaches that have pushed him. Well, it's good, right? It's a good thing when we get pushed. And God raises the level up here. But God is so patient and kind. Now, sometimes as parents, we have maybe had these perfectionistic expectations for our kids, and when our kids didn't meet them, what a sad thing is when we came down on our kids, because then they just get frustrated. But God doesn't do that to us. God encourages us, but he wants us to shoot high. So the standard has always been set high by God, really for our own good. It's for our own good that we would shoot high. And then again, by the way, when you and I do score high, okay, when we hit at a high level in this category, then it makes it hard for really negative things to get in. If we hit at a good level with this rejoicing evermore, and we're learning how to rejoice, and even the negative things that come in, or the negative things that happen, then it's harder for the negative elements to get into our thinking, because we've learned how to just be thankful. We've learned how to just rejoice. And you know what? If we are very resourceful, then we can always find something to rejoice in. We really can. I mean, if something has just gone way south, we could go into a children's hospital, or we could go somewhere like that and see somebody that's way worse off. We could see a soldier that lost both of his legs, and, here we have to deal with a torn ACL, and we're just like, oh, this is the end of the world, and it's like, well, you didn't lose both your legs. Right. Somebody gave up both of their legs and an arm, both arms, fighting. Right, Brother Sherman? Brother Sherman, who's fought for us and fought for this country, has seen a lot of things like that. So listen, somebody always has it worse than us, and sometimes it's good for us to go, you know what? It could have been a whole lot worse. I want to thank you. I'm just going to rejoice in that. Again, I'm speaking to myself because I'm not saying that I get an A-plus on this all the time, but this is what I want to do. This is where I want to go. Because, listen, we got to be careful. Just the little things can get in and create problems. The Bible talks about a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So we got to be careful about those doubtful things, those negative things that we let come into our thinking. And if we ask the Lord to help us, we can recognize those thoughts and go, Lord, I don't want those thoughts. I want those thoughts to be gone. Just like a fly getting into your tent. It's like, just one fly can ruin it all. And then you open up the netting to get him out, and three more of his friends get in. It's like, that's not what I was planning on. But you know what? Just allowing something small can end up becoming something big over time. Ecclesiastes 10:1 talks about that. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. So it's just commanded by God. Also, it glorifies him. It just glorifies him when we learn to rejoice evermore, when we are just honoring unto him. You know, we're called to praise him. That's part of what Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 and 12 say that exactly. Those verses say this in chapter 1 and verse 6. It says this, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And then verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Think about it. This is the chief goal for every individual, for every one of us, is to glorify Christ. It's to glorify the Lord. Everything is supposed to be done in order that God is glorified. That verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Everything that we do, we ought to just, Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to do this. Thank you that you allow me to be able to have a being that I just get to live on your earth. And I get to enjoy this. And one of these days, I'm going to be with you. Boy, we've got to just put ourselves, where we're going to be one day. We're going to be with the Lord. And right now, he is with us. So we have we were just talking in the hallway. I was talking to a couple of the men. I said, man, all of this and heaven too. Yeah. It's a great thing, isn't it? So if we'll determine to rejoice evermore in order that God, in order that our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is glorified, then we must do it with hearts full of praise. And the Bible is full of that. Psalm 148, all through that whole psalm. Brother Park, I think it was a week before last, brought forth a devotion in the men's prayer just on, I think it was Psalm 149 and Psalm 150, about just praising. Everything gives praise. Everything that hath breath, just praise the Lord. And we're to follow that. We're to just thank the Lord for everything that he has done for us. And that's just something, then again, that's commanded of us, and it glorifies him. It's also where our strength lies. That's where our strength is when we can rejoice about everything and unto God's glory and unto his praise. If we can rejoice, that's where our strength is. That's how we can get through this life. God just infuses us with strength because we've honored him. God's pleased by that. When he sees that we take the step of obedience to honor his word and to obey it, he blesses us with great strength. You know, Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength, it says in that verse. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So as we rejoice and we thank him, you know, what does it say in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So we're to rejoice about everything that he has given to us, that he has blessed us with. And then also, it's a means of giving hope to others. I mean, it's a means of being a blessing to somebody else. We all know that a frown, a sigh, a snide comment, or a rolling of the eyes really never encouraged anyone, did it? You know? If I look at Brother Wes and, you know, he say, hey, how you doing? And I just roll my eyes. I don't think he's like, yes. I don't think so. I think it's like, oh, my pastor's got a problem, you know. I need to pray for him. That's not a good signal to send to somebody. But listen, but a happy countenance and a cheery word and a bright outlook and a song in the heart has always been what God uses to elevate those around us. When we're just praising the Lord and thanking Him. You know, we're not trying to sound, super spiritual. We just say, man, just God's good. Look what He's done for us. Look what we have. Look at how He's blessed us. And we get to come together as a church of a body of believers. And what a great thing. And so, it's just good to do that, even in the midst of difficult times. You know, think of the Apostle Paul and Silas when it said in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. We won't turn there just for sake of time, but it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And what a difference that made, because God brought forth an earthquake and opened those jail cells and yet kept those prisoners from escaping. And then the jailer, who thought that they had escaped, as he looked down the hallway and saw all of those cells open, says, I'm a dead man, so I'm just going to fall on my sword. And yet Paul said, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. And that man sprang into their cell and said, what must I do to be saved? And he gets saved and his whole family gets saved. Because somebody had a cheery outlook.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, brother, I appreciate, you know, when you talk about, and Brother Jason's not about touting himself. He's not at all. But, you know, I just remember him talking about, listen, you know, there's times when he's going through things like we all are. But you make that effort at work and you just kind of just be chipper and happy, and because you know that you represent somebody and you know that it's made a difference in some people's lives. And I appreciate that about him, and I appreciate that about so many of you. And that's where we want to be. Amen. You know, sometimes we don't always have a cheery outlook. We weren't born with cheerfulness, right, in our bag. It's not part of our bag of tools, but that doesn't mean God can't give it to us if we ask Him. So, folks, let's make sure that we learn how to rejoice evermore. And then it says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Just these little three-worded exhortations to pray without ceasing. Here's another always verse. Don't stop praying. Now, really, when you think about it, humanly speaking, we may not literally be able to keep this verse. I mean, because, you know, we can only keep our mind on one thing at a time, at least us men. You ladies can multitask like nobody's business, all right? We'll give that one to you, okay? But, we're just kind of focused, and, you know, my wife will say, did you hear what I was saying? What? I was just kind of focused on this right here, you know? I'm just ready to just take this thing down. What are you? We're on one thing, okay? Well, listen, you know, as far as just always praying. Listen, whenever we have opportunity to keep our minds and our things on the things of the Lord, there are many times when we're not able to. We must focus our minds on numerous things throughout the day, and it pulls our minds from prayer. That still doesn't mean that we still can't have a spirit of prayer inside of our heart. You rest at night. We don't have that opportunity to pray while we're sleeping. But you know what? This verse seems to mean more along the lines of continue to pray about everything as often as you can, whenever you can. Consciously take the opportunity to pray about something. Seize it and do it. Pray without ceasing. And so as much as we possibly can, as we just embrace that and just keep our minds and our thoughts on Him. Again, Isaiah 26:3, I quote that a lot, but it's a great verse. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. The Lord will bless us when we do that. Now, what should we pray for? Well, there's just a number of things to pray. As we look unto the Lord, we need to pray for deliverance from ourselves. I think without a doubt, I think our greatest enemy is numero uno right here. It's just this guy right here that I look at, that this guy's face that I shave every day in the mirror, you know. This guy's the one that gives me the most trouble. And you're the one that gives yourselves the most trouble, because we have that old nature and we struggle against it. And so we just have to learn how to look unto the Lord to help us to be delivered from ourselves. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 is just a great verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, all right? you know, what Paul is saying here is I've learned this teaching, this concept, this doctrine about the fact that I'm to reckon myself to be dead indeed unto sin. Now, does that mean the old nature goes away? It does not go away. It'll go away one day when we go away to be with the Lord. But this old nature's here. But we have to learn and understand that God says we're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. So when we keep our thoughts and our minds on the Lord, we can die to this old nature. Now, the old nature is ready to spring back at any time. So we have to learn how to continue to go forth in that same, on that same path. But it says here, again, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It has to be the Lord working through us in order to give us this victory. He says, not yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is through the power of Christ, through the Spirit of God. Christ liveth in me and he gives me the victory when I learn to just turn it over unto him and when I learn to just be willing to die to self. There's a whole lot more there than just that. And I'm not trying to explain that verse that simply. There's a whole lot more. But folks, I say it a lot, but it's just true. And I think we have to be reminded of it. We continuously get in God's way. I mean, isn't that true? Do you believe that many times you get in the Lord's way? You know, the Lord is wanting to do something through you, and he allows a difficult situation to come into your life. Something that's really, you know, threatening, something that's really foreboding. It just seems like very overwhelming. And, you know, maybe you're instantly, you just go right to the Lord and you just praise the Lord. I mean, I've never been out, you know, working a project and hit my thumb with a hammer and just instantly said, praise the Lord, yes, as blood's gushing from my thumb. I usually have to kind of work to that. Right? I mean, when something happens and it's just not good, I'm usually like, whoa. Oh. And then after a while, I mean, I stepped on a nail one time when I was out reading meters. I mentioned that before. And I stepped on that and I realized, oh man, that's not a good looking nail. No nail's a good nail to step on, right? But especially not a rusty one. And I called my boss, said, listen, I just stepped on a nail. It was sticking out of a board, and it went right into my foot. And he says, you've got to go to the hospital, get a tetanus shot, you know. And so I was just kind of bummed. But it took some time, and I said, thank you, Lord. There's something in this. And, you know, I had an opportunity to witness to somebody in the hospital and tell them about the Lord. And I think I may have had a tract to give to him, but I did have a conversation. And later I just said, Lord, you know, if that wouldn't have happened, maybe that person gets saved down the road because of the fact that I got a nail in my foot. That's not always easy. And listen, I'm not saying I passed the test for a while. I was not too happy. But over time, you know, folks, so I don't know where you're at when it comes to trials, but listen, we just need to be delivered from self. And then for God's will to be done in our lives, that God will do the things that he wants to in our lives, that we would just look unto him and say, Lord, what is it that you want? You know, not my will be done. Remember the Lord Jesus prayed that prayer, not my will be done, but thy will. The Lord wanted to be kind of rescued from what he was having to face to go to that cross. If you would remove this cup, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, because the Lord knew that's the path he had to go on, but you could see his humanity come out. And it's just good for us to pray that prayer, Lord, I don't always know the will of God in regard to whatever, you know, taking a new position at work, having more children, situations with our kids, situations with family members. You could just name it. You could go on and on with a whole list of things. And we don't have the answers for them all, so we just say, Lord, would you please help me? Because if it's left to me, I will invariably make the wrong decision. I'm just good at that. And I think that that's really every one of us. If we just want to go our own route, we're going to regret it. But if we would look unto the Lord and say, Lord, help me to do the right thing. Help me to go, you know, help me to go the right direction today. Maybe there's somebody you want me to bump into. Maybe there is a divine appointment ahead. Would you just lead and guide me? You know, the Lord would be pleased with that. Amen. And so we pray that God's will be done. And then in order to experience really true victory as well, in order to experience true victory, it's important for us to just be praying. We just need to come to Him and trust Him. Again, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9 talks about that will of God. But it says this, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." And folks, when we just learn to turn things over unto Him and trust Him, then victory will come forth as a result of that if we learn how to pray without ceasing. This is how one walks in the Spirit, if we keep our mind on Him. When we get off in our own tangent and in our own way, we are not going to be walking with the Spirit. We're not going to be walking with Christ. You know, as 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, we want to walk with Him, walking in the light as He is in the light. But when we go off and choose our own way, then, you know, we're going to find ourselves getting into the weeds, and we're going to find ourselves getting into some trouble. But if we'll just learn how to pray without ceasing, Lord, help me, help me. The Lord will keep us, and will keep us on the right path. And that's just a good place for every one of us to be. This is how one puts himself in the best position to be a blessing, again, to those around us, is when we learn to be somebody who's praying all the time. We'll be a blessing to other people, and sometimes we won't even always know it. It says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." This is how one knows God's direction in life, is just when we learn to just keep Him in prayer, or stay in prayer before Him. Pray without ceasing. So rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And then this third thing tonight is, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So rejoicing and then praying always, but also in every situation and always to be thankful, to give thanks unto the Lord. In everything, give thanks. And you know, when we learn to give thanks, there are just great benefits that come as a result of being thankful. First of all, it takes the focus off of ourselves. And that's a good thing. When we're thankful to the Lord, it means less about us. Because when we're not thankful, that's usually the time when we start getting lifted up in pride. You know, that's when, you know, Nebuchadnezzar went out and he looked at his kingdom and he said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built?" You know, paraphrasing it, he was just like, he was all about himself. What did God do? God humbled him. God humbled him for a season of times, for 7 years. He was just like an animal out in the backwoods. And when he finally came back to his senses in Daniel chapter 4, boy, he praised the God of creation. He praised the God of heaven, and he was humbled before God. And so he was thankful for what God had allowed him to be able to come back and do, and that was to reign in his kingdom. And folks, the same thing will happen to us. If we're not thankful, then it'll begin to be more about us. Because we'll just begin to start focusing on what we have done. And folks, when we can be thankful for the things that He's given to us, that's why we don't want to let things go by and let them go unrecognized or, you know, just unnoticed. It's good for us to stop. Maybe at night when we're going to bed and we just have some time of prayer before we go to bed, is just to kind of recall. Put ourselves on the, hit the recall button, and as much as we can, think about just some of the events that took place in the day and be thankful for what God allowed, that we had the time to spend with our kids, that we had an opportunity to have some fellowship with some of the brethren, that we had the opportunity to be in church this morning, that we had a near accident, but it didn't happen. You know, Brother Hank talked about that, you know, after the last night of VBS as he headed home and he almost hit a fellow on the side of the road. As he was rejoicing going home, all of a sudden there's a guy dressed in black at night, and he said, I would have hit him, but the last second I saw something around his leg at the from the knee below that was white or something, light colored. He saw that and turned and says, I narrowly missed that guy. And I'm just grateful that God allowed me to because I would have maybe killed that guy. And listen, it's just good for us to just recall. Good idea? It is a good idea. It's just good to stop and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that, you know, this didn't happen or that didn't happen. Thank you for allowing this. Thank you for, you know, the food I ate today, even though it's probably too much. Thank the Lord for it. Amen? So it's good to just do that. And then also, you know, when we... When it's less about us, it just promotes a humble spirit. And that's really what I was talking about, just, you know, along the lines of that first point, under giving thanks for everything. It just allows us to be humble because we recognize it's not us, but it's God. And his hand is upon us. And he walks with us. And he loves us. I was looking at this passage the other day in John chapter 10 where the Lord says this, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, isn't that just comforting to know that we are in the hollow of God's hand? We're in the hollow of his hand, and he says, nobody's going to pluck you out of my hand. That just gives me some great comfort. I'm secure in his arms. I'm secure in his hands. It's better than being in, you know, what is it, Allstate's hands? You're in good hands with Allstate, is that right? You're in better hands with the Lord. And when you know that he's got you, there's nothing that anybody can do to you. Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, nobody can harm you. I'm with my Lord. He may allow us this and that to happen, but it's always allowed by the Lord. Nothing ever happens to a Christian by accident. He knows everything that takes place in our life, and that's comforting to me, that he knows everything that takes place in our life. And then just another thing about being thankful. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When you're thankful, it prompts you and I to give. Yeah, a thankful person wants to give because they're just grateful. They're grateful that, boy, you've done this for them. On a human level, if you do something for somebody else and that person is so grateful, they just want to do something for you, don't they? Man, is there something I can do to be a blessing to you? Is there something that, man, they want to give? And when we recognize the fact of what God's done in our lives and how much he loves us, then we want to give back to him. We want to give him our time. We want to give of our talents and of our treasures to him because we love him and because of the fact that we're grateful for the fact of what he's done in our lives. I think so many examples of this. I think of Dorcas, who we read about in Acts chapter 8 or chapter 9, but how she labored in her knitting ministry, making garments and coats. She was just grateful for the opportunity to serve the Lord. I think of Epaphroditus, who for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. He just was willing to give his life up because he so loved the Lord. His life was threatened because he was being a blessing to the Philippian church and to those at the church. And he almost lost his life, but he was grateful for the opportunity to do that. Timothy, it says about Timothy, Paul said this, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Paul was saying, this is a unique young man we have here, and I have no man who's like-minded like him. Nobody quite in the category of a Timothy who will naturally care for your state. He was talking about he's willing to just sacrifice for you and to give of himself for you. That's what he was saying in one of the epistles. And then you think about Epaphras. It says he was always laboring fervently for you in prayers. He's talking about the church at Colossae, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And so there were folks who, they were willing to give. You know why? Because they were thankful. They were thankful for what God had done for them. Think about Zacchaeus. And it says this in Luke chapter 19 in verses 8 and 9. When the Lord comes over and sees him up in the tree, I mean, Zacchaeus can't see him because he's a little guy. He can't see the Lord. He's probably in his office to begin the day, but something stirred his heart. He probably didn't have any interest in the things of the Lord, but that day he did. And you know what? I think he just started to begin to think, you know, my life is just a mess. I'm cheating people. I'm a wretch of a man. And then he hears, there's a crowd going by. What's going on? That's the Lord Jesus. He's going by. And something got a hold of his heart. It's the Lord got a hold of his heart. And he says, I just need to go. And they're, oh, Zacchaeus, where are you going? You got a lot of work to do. I'll be back. Runs out the door, sees a crowd of people, and heads down that crowd and tries to see the Lord, but he's so small, he's, I got to see him. And he says, I'm going to go down a ways, and I'm going to get ahead, and I'm going to climb that sycamore tree. And he goes, and he climbs up it, just wanting to see the Lord come by. And the Lord knew who he was. The Lord walks over to that tree. He says, Zacchaeus, how do you know my name? And he says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm gonna spend some time at your house. And Zacchaeus comes down, a new creature in Christ. And what does he say? It says, Zacchaeus stood, and he said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, he says, the half of my goods I'm going to give to the poor. Now, this was the Lord that inspired these words, so you know he meant this. He wasn't just all talk. He says, I will give all the half of my goods. I'm going to give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, and you know, he had the books that would tell him, because he had to keep the books. That's what, he was working for the Roman government. And boy, he collected taxes. And you know, he collected more than he should have. And a lot of them went into his own pocket. And he knew who he had taken advantage of. And he said, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'm going to restore him fourfold. I'm going to give him four times, Lord, what I took from him. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation. Come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Why did he want to give? Because he was thankful. Because the Lord had changed his life. Because he was saved. He comes down out of that tree, and he's a new creature in Christ. And something that was not even ever recognizable in Zacchaeus, because he was a skinflint in one way, but he was also just pilfering and just cheating and putting money in his pocket. But God had changed his heart. And he recognized what God had done for him. And he was thankful. And he said, I'm going to give back. I'm going to give back even more. It's kind of that Ebenezer Scrooge kind of situation. But this really happened with this fellow, Zacchaeus. And he just said, I'm just going to give back. Because you have done something for me, and I just want to say thank you. And then it also just paves the way toward praising God when we're thankful. I look at thankfulness as opening the door to the room of praise. When you look at Psalm 100, a thankful spirit will always lead you on the road that ends at the destination called praise. Psalm 100 in verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Folks, we're to be thankful in everything. And if you and I learn how to be thankful, even in the tough times, even when it's not going your way, even when you feel like, Lord, I've been serving you faithfully and I haven't seen a whole lot, God's waiting. God's good. He sees everything that you've done and he's going to bless it. But he has his timing on it. And it's just good for us to just go, Lord, I'm good with your timing. You know, I haven't always been good with God's timing. Can some of you say, yeah, that's been true of me too. I haven't always been good with God's timing. I wanted something and I wanted it right now. But it's just good to get to a point where you just say, Lord, you know best. I don't know best. I would like it right now, but you know best. Because you have got so many things that you're combining in this thing, and you work through timing like nobody else can. So I've got to recognize that. And though I would like to be blessed right now, I'm going to get my hands off of it, because I'll pray and say, Lord, I certainly would pray that this could happen, and it would be great if it could happen then. But I'm trying to learn to say, but Lord, I don't know that that's it. That's what I want, but I'm backing away from that, and I want your will to be done. And you do it in your timing. I just want to thank you for whatever it is that you've done in my heart and in my life. So we see here, again, as part of this, God's formula for experiencing his fullest blessing is if we can learn to position ourselves for God to continually bless. And he will, if we will just ask God to help us to become disciplined to do these things, to rejoice evermore. That means to rejoice in everything. That's not easy. And then also to pray without ceasing, to pray as often as we can and give it to the Lord, and then in everything give thanks. Boy, that's a tough one. In everything give thanks. But if we can learn to give thanks even at the toughest things, God will be able to really begin to move greatly in our lives. And then there's a few more things, points 3, 4, and 5, that we'll cover in these next few weeks, that if we allow these things to happen, then verse 23 becomes a reality, that God will be able to, the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May that be true of every one of us. But we have to understand that there's a path that we need to go through, that God has a formula. So may we just be inclined to it. May we be yielded to it so that God can do his work in our lives. And with that, let's have a word of prayer. We'll have a hymn. And then, if we just need to do some business with the Lord, I hope that we'll do that tonight. If you're here tonight, you don't know Christ as your Savior, then obviously we want to make sure that there's an invitation for you. We would love to see you get saved and trust Christ as your Savior. Now, Father, tonight we thank you. We thank you that you've laid out really what we call a formula. And it's just a number of things that, Lord, you've laid out for us to obey. Certainly these things, some of these things are not easy to obey. You know that. But help us as we walk by faith, Lord, to just trust you and to follow these things, follow these exhortations, these commandments, and obey them so that it would bring honor and glory to you. Lord, help us in our growth and in our maturing that we would just learn to walk with you, keep our hearts and minds set on you. Every one of us here, we could all go south and can become real pessimistic and doubtful. But Lord, help us not to stay there. Help us to get our hearts right, to get back where it's supposed to be and honor you with all of this. And we see the great blessings that you have for those of us who will do that. Help each and every one of us to do this. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.